and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. It's in this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 733. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined today by my guest host, guest co-host, Mr. Brian Cheslick.
Mr.
Dr. Brian Cheslick.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Soon it's gonna rain.
It is Wednesday, August 9th. No, it's August 16th, 2023. On the show today, we have City Theater, their production of Picnic. Later, we're going to be talking to the creative team behind Sideways the Musical and the release of their cast album. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, New Haven, and Summers Point, New Jersey. Stick with us.
Rain pell mell, and we'll not complain
if it never stops at all. Brian Cheslick.
Hello.
Dr. Brian Cheslick.
Hello, hello.
How are you? Welcome to Offstage and On the Air. Have you co-hosted with me before?
I have never co-hosted, but I have been on several times.
I know you've been on several times. I didn't know if you have co-hosted. Well, I'm happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
We're going to talk about a lot of all of your goings on in just a little second. But before we do that, I want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. I love all the music from the Sami, I believe is the Sami people that he did today. Very, very wonderful and fun, but he always does such a wonderful show. And he's a wonderful man.
Well, thank you.
I believe he's also Dr. Kim Simpson, but I could be wrong. Yes. Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here in our studio audience. We have Chloe Nichols. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, how are you doing?
Well, hold on. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn on your microphone. Try that again.
Hi there.
Well, first time you asked me how I was doing.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm fine. And Marcus Speed. Hi, Marcus.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good,
still.
Good. Doing better than Chloe.
Yeah. So that song, Soon It's Gonna Rain, from The Fantastics. I, by the way, have done The Fantastics three times in three different ways and one time in Spanish. Have you done The Fantastics, Brian?
I have not. It is actually not one of my thrilling shows that I love on my bucket list.
Okay.
It's entertaining, but...
So do you only do shows that are on your bucket list?
Yes.
Okay, good for you. I'd like to have your life. What about the two of you? Have you ever done The Fantastics?
I personally have not.
Okay, Chloe?
I have not, but I've heard lots of great things about it. Wasn't it like the longest running off Broadway
It was,
show?
Longest running show. I need you to get yourself right up to that microphone,
apologies.
Please. So anyway, I'm playing that because we lost one of the authors of it, Mr. Tom Jones. Harvey Schmidt, his writing partner, died, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. But both Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt are from or went to school at the University of Texas.
Ooh.
I've always thought, and although when I read the obituary, it didn't seem to bear it out, I thought they wrote The Fantastics at the school, but I don't think they did. He was 95 when he died. I believe after school, they both were recruited into the Korean War and came back and then wrote it. So I don't think they wrote it in the state of Texas, although I've always said that they did. But yeah, so it opened in 1960 at the Sullivan Street Playhouse. And I've always told a really fun story about that. I went to see The Fantastics in 1978, I think, at the Sullivan Street Playhouse. And what they do, we were all warned, don't show up late. Because the way it works is there was seating that you had to actually walk through the stage to get to the seating. And they would always hold some people back. and make them walk across. And whenever that would happen, the cast would just stop and stare at them as they walked across the stage. And they would look at each other and shake their head and just go back on with the show.
I agree with that tactic.
It's
one of my pet peeves when people enter late.
Yeah.
Ironically, I actually just watched the movie maybe a month ago because I'd never seen the movie before with Joel Grey. And I love Joel Grey.
The movie of?
The Fantastics.
Oh, the movie. Ooh, I didn't like the movie.
That couldn't be very much why it's not on my bucket list.
I did not like the movie. Anyway, it ran for 17,000 performances. Wow.
That's incredible.
17,000. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's also another story. I've told it on this show a whole bunch of times. Oh, my God. Did I just lose his name? Jerry Orbach. We all know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry Orbach was a young actor in New York. And in 1960, he was given the opportunity to, he was going to be in the chorus. He was hired to do the chorus of a Broadway show. And then Harvey Schmidt and Tom Jones came to him with his little tiny itsy show called The Fantastics that was going to be done downtown and offered him the lead role in it. And that's a huge... That's a huge decision. Oh, yeah. I probably would have gone for the Broadway show. But he didn't. He went for the Fantastics, and it made his career.
Mm.
Yeah, that's that.
Oh, yeah. He's been in
that's Tom Jones.
Quite a lot. So good decision making.
Yep. Let's just take a little break and talk about Dr. Brian Cheslett.
Okay.
Tell us about it. So I want folks to know a little bit about you. You are the artistic director of Deaf Austin Theater. That's how you and I met. Mm-hmm. And I know you're gearing up for production that you're opening in just a few weeks. We're going to have you on the show, but tell folks what that show is.
We are actually producing the first ever professional production of the Laramie Project in American Sign Language.
Wow.
It has been produced and translated in languages all over the world.
But not ASL.
Exactly, not at
ASL. I'm surprised.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Well, and I know you had talked to me about this a long time ago when you first approached Moises Kaufman about it. And so you got a lot of buy-in from the Tectonic Theater Company and Moises mm-hmm. Kaufman. And even Judy Shepherd is coming in to see it.
Both Dennis and Judy are going to come in.
We only care about Judy.
And then actually we had Barbara Pitts from the original, mm-hmm. From the Tectonic crew
yeah.
at our fundraiser in New York last week.
Amazing.
Wow.
Well, that's good. That's going to be done at Ground Floor Theater. When do you open?
We open September the 7th, and we run through the 16th.
Great. Where do folks get information?
At www.deafawesometheater.org.
Awesome. And then you had mentioned, I guess you've had your doctorate for a little over a year now, right?
2021, so 2 years.
2 years. My God, time yeah. flies. So that's great. You are actually teaching theater at a college.
No. That you is incorrect.
I thought you were.
No, I actually teach American Sign Language and interpreting. I run a bachelor's program at the University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
Okay. For some reason, I thought you were teaching theater.
No, I direct shows for the theater department there.
Got it. Okay. Well, a lot of stuff is coming clear to me. Well, congratulations. We'll learn more about your goings-on as we go on. I'm really happy to have you here as co-host. And we will get you here on in the next week or so for the Laramie Project and learn all about that.
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking more forward to it. We did have one opening on Broadway. And that is The Shark is Broken. Does anybody know anything about that?
I've been hearing some things about it. Like with, you know, just for instance, the shark itself on the show. Like I've been hearing lots of that with, you know, people talking about like the technical aspects behind it.
Well, there is no shark on the show. I think what you might be thinking
about. Oh, I'm thinking of
Jaws. About, yes, which is what the show is about. It's called The Shark is Broken. It actually follows... Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, and Roy Scheider as they sit in the boat that they use to film it, waiting for things because the shark, oh, there were actually three mechanical sharks, kept breaking.
Yeah. Actually, I was in New York 2 weeks ago, and I had tickets to see Parade, which is right next door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to get in line to get into the theater, and Sandra May Frank, who I was going with, she was like, Brian, she's trying to get my attention. Brian, you're in the wrong line for the wrong theater.
Oh, you were in for Shark Is Broken. Well, anyway, it opened last Thursday at the Golden Theater. It's directed by Guy Masterson. And this is the review from Jesse Green. Oh, I should say that on the review aggregator, Did They Like It? They had 13 reviews, 8 of which were middle of the road, 3 were positive, 2 were negative. Jesse Green was mixed, and he said, Bruce was the name given to 3 mechanical predators built to simulate the great white shark at the heart of the story. As one after another became bloated with salt water or entangled in seaweed and failed to operate or flat out sank, the crew called the movie Flaws, which I think is cute. there was little the 3 equally temperamental human stars could do but try and usually fail to be patient. Occasionally, they wondered if it might not have been better to train an actual great white for the role. I did not know this about it. First of all, is anybody a Jaws fan?
I am.
Yeah,
I am personally,
that was quick. Yes. You were like right there. You were right there with that.
Oh, yeah. Every so often, I love to just watch all of them running around.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a Jaws. As a matter of fact, I've only seen it once, and I refused to see it when it came out because I like to go to the beach. And I didn't want to be afraid to do that. But so this is a story about the making of the show. And it was actually written by Shaw's son, Robert Shaw's son. I just forgot his name. And Ivan Shaw is played. Robert Shaw is played by his son, Ian Shaw. And then Colin Donnell Alex Brightman plays one of them, Dreyfus, and Colin Donnell plays Scheider. And all in all, it was mixed in general. This is to give you an idea. The people here can see a picture. And that's it. Jesse Green found the dialogue labored, amongst other things. He didn't really like the show. Other critics. Broadway News' Naveen Kumar, the boat, recognizable from the film's final deadly chase, is marvelously recreated here by Duncan Henderson, who also designed the costume, while Nina Dunn's video design and John Clark's lighting vividly maroon the actors at sea. Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast said, "Wittily excels not just as a clever time capsule, but as an examination of male bonding and competitiveness, ego, frailty, fame, and filmmaking." Finally, Adam Feldman of Time Out New York said, "But since the movie remains a cultural touchstone, the play makes for pleasant entertainment." Hmm. I think that's kind of what everybody is sort of saying, is just pleasant entertainment. Sound like anything people want to see?
Mm-hmm. The concept sounds really interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be curious to know what they're talking about when they're on their break with technical things.
Well, evidently they didn't get along all that well, the 3 of them.
Hmm.
I don't know.
In the middle of an ocean, on a boat.
Mm-hmm. 3 men in a boat.
Exactly.
A boat. Rub-a-dub-dub is what I like to say. Let's talk about the Artist Repertory Theater in Portland. We've been talking a lot on this show in almost every single week. And before I do that, let me just tell you that the views expressed on Offstage and On the Air are not that of co-op, its staff, or board of directors. It is simply our own personal opinions. There's so much going on in the world of theater and politics these days. But this is not political per se, but yet another theater is falling prey to finances. And that's the Artist Repertory Theater. It's been around for 40 years. They're not closing, but they're shutting down for a year. They're closing their season for a year, the 23-24 season. And they were already in rehearsals for their first show. The board put out a statement that said, I was going to quote it, but that wasn't the quote. I'm going to quote the statement from the board. Funding for the arts sector has been challenging in general, and crucial funding has not materialized for ART specifically. Most notably, House Bill 2459 was not passed by the Oregon legislature and resulted in $250,000 not being awarded to us as part of the proposed recovery funding for the arts and culture sector. The bill would have appropriated monies to cultural organizations in response to the negative impact of the pandemic on organizational finances. I mean, you could say that same statement for theaters here.
So many theaters.
Like, I can name like one that it just happened to, way off Broadway.
Way off Broadway.
Which was my first community theater.
Did they close down?
Yeah.
A good friend of mine, Bethany Watkins.
That's very sad.
They've been on this show several times.
And I love that little, it was a quaint little theater. I know they had to move out of that original space they had, but I was hoping they could continue trekking along. It's just arts funding is a difficult thing to have to, you know, try to get at times like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've talked about it ad nauseum here on this program, but, you know, people in general think that arts funding is two things. They don't think we deserve funding or we need it because we like to do things for free. And secondly, they think that it's easily something that they could ignore or get rid of because it doesn't form a specific function in their eyes. When in reality, culture and arts are vital to humanity.
Really are.
Definitely. That's why we have studies of humanities, and humanities consists of art. For example, like the first beginnings, it was mostly like performing theater for the gods and such. So like, it's been around for a long time. I just wish that there was more in order to do more for theaters, like more funding and such.
Yeah, we're going to need you to get right up on that microphone and
talk
right to
it. My apologies.
We're trying everything. We're like making signs, touching you on the back. So it's hard. I'm actually bored of talking about this stuff. We are experiencing funding changes here in Austin, and certainly the state has not been very good funding-wise, although I will say the Texas Commission on the Arts has increased their funding, and they've been a little bit better than they have in the past. But when you talk about this particular organization was because of a bill wasn't passed that was needed, we've got bills here and in Louisiana and around the country where they're making art a crime, talking specifically about SB 12. Mm-hmm. And I know Chloe wanted to talk about that a little bit. And SB 12 is that law that goes into effect, supposed to go into effect September 1st, where it presumably to protect our children, we're going to keep them away from pluralistic ideas in theater, but what it really is doing is targeting the LGBTQ community and drag specifically.
It really is.
It makes me quite upset because theater just has such a long history with drag in particular. Women weren't allowed to perform at first. Me and Marcus actually did a play called Playhouse Creatures about the first women that, you know, did theater, so we know a little bit about that. And with that in mind, you know, it's been a drag performance space for the longest time, and it's impacting us already. Like, it's impacting current productions that are currently going on. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that's kind of important to talk about, and like, that's why I'm with a few groups that are trying to organize for a sanctuary city for Austin to establish that and make sure that, you know, our LGBTQ castmates and crew members can get some form of safety in our city.
Our production of Laramie Project, that was inspired by the fact that I was a high school theater teacher at Texas School for the Deaf, and I used to teach the play, but English for deaf kids, English is not their first language, so they struggle. When they watch the movie, they still don't understand it, even though it has captions. So my dream was always to produce it in ASL, so our students there and deaf children can learn the messages from the show. Well, now thanks to SB 12, we can't have a school show because we could get in trouble.
Right. Mm-hmm. And when we talked last week about this, a lot of we're talking specifically a school district. It's not here in Texas, but it's somewhere else. Had a very similar law. Their school board made it so that they could not teach full texts of Shakespeare, only certain pieces, excerpts, which is just crazy. And you know, we said, well, the students can find full texts in a public library, not in the school library, mind you. We're going to get rid of Shakespeare in the school library, God forbid. So yeah, we have a lot of work to do here in Texas and around the country.
Quite a lot.
Yeah. And I've always said, I've always been pretty civically minded, and I was very active in local politics. I chair the Human Rights Commission here in Austin for a short while. I always say this. I just love the state capitol building. That building is so gorgeous. I am very disappointed in the work that they do in that building. And it really, really, really upsets me.
The outside is gorgeous. Like that Athena statue on top is like my favorite statue in all of Texas.
I will challenge you to say the inside is gorgeous as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of the building. And I'm a big fan of the democratic process. Too bad we don't have it here in Texas. So let's get back to theater, shall we?
Yes, yeah. Please.
There is a musical that's going to happen at the London's Meunier Chocolate Factory. It's called Twiggy the Musical. Do y'all know
Synopsis?
Who Twiggy is?
No.
You don't know who Twiggy is? No, Twiggy was the very first supermodel.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So it's actually starts previews on September 18th, opens on September 27th, plans to run through November 18th. And it's called Close Up. It's written and directed by Ben Elton, and it tells the story of Twiggy, of her triumph and the challenges she faced with sexism and snobbery as she made her way from the London suburb to Hollywood and Broadway. The score features hit songs from the era, so I'm guessing we've got another jukebox musical here. Don't have enough
factory?
Of those, if you ask me.
It's performing in a chocolate factory?
No, Meunier Chocolate Factory is a theater company. They did Parade, amongst others.
Totally misleading, though. Like, I'm going to go there. I want chocolate.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I did work with a company in Chicago. It was a queer youth theater company called, I forgot the name of it, but their annual gala was the Wonka Ball. Chocolate everywhere. So speaking of the Meunier Chocolate Factory and Parade, you saw Parade.
I did.
And what is your report on that?
It was, so I knew a little bit about the music and a little bit about the story, but not fully. I mean, it was never on my list.
It should have been. It's an amazing piece.
Well, I went because it was closing, and I just got in New York for our fundraiser, and I was looking at shows to go see, and Sandra and I were like, hey, let's do Parade because it's closing next week. I had no idea.
Oh, interesting.
It was mind-blowingly amazing, the whole thing from start to finish.
It's a beautiful story. It's very hard to watch. That was the very first show that Ground Floor Theater did in 2015, and we are currently planning to do it again in December of 2025 for our 10-year anniversary.
The set design, the choreography, the voices, everything was gorgeous. What was really, really interesting is Ben Platt actually stayed on stage during the entire intermission.
Yeah. We talked about that on the show.
People got yelled at for taking pictures of them.
Now, does Ground Floor, do they plan their seasons out that far in advance, or is that just something that you wanted to special?
We try to. We're actually about to announce our 2024 season in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yay.
No, in 1 week. Next week, on Monday, we're announcing it. So, and it's an exciting season.
The whole thing's starring me, right?
Yes, everything is starring you. Yes. And you're directing everything as well. All right, we've got to run. We're running a little late. So we're going to go out with another show that Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt did called 110 in the Shade, which is weird. Yeah. I played something from 110 in the Shade last week as well. Who knew? But this also, this is Little Red Hat from 110 in the Shade. And one of the singers on this, and we're going to talk about her later, is Leslie Ann Warren. So we will be right back.
We get in the car. I step on the gas.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, guest co-hosted by Dr. Brian Cheslick.
Hello.
Hola. So we are here now going to switch gears and talk to our same guests, Chloe Nichols and Marcus Speed. They're currently starring in a production of Inge. I never know how to pronounce his last name.
Inge.
Picnic, playing at City Theater, getting ready to open at City Theater coming up. So welcome to Offstage and On the Air.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So this screenplay was originally written in the 50s, I believe.
Yes.
When can you tell folks what the show's all about?
The show is just an old contemporary piece, classical traditional American theater. It is about a small town family that is gathering for a picnic. It values family values, traditions, morals. But then it also plays on the controversy of just what those traditions are shifting into the early 60s, coming out of the late 50s, and then right back into just what I said, those family morals and what individual members of the family want, what individual members of the family want to treasure and value, and some of those want to break them. Right. It's just an old classic show about old classic conversations.
And so it involves two families that live next door to each other, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And they hang out in their backyards, which is mostly how people do the scenic design. And I guess they're going to have a picnic.
They're going to have a picnic and right. They're going to talk about a picnic and things are going to happen at a picnic.
Are there ants?
Lots.
Okay, good.
And so, two cakes.
And what?
And two cakes.
Oh, who doesn't like that? Is it a comedy?
I would say there's a little bit of comical elements in there, yeah. But all around, it's pretty much contemporary.
Okay. Well, contemporary can be both comedic and serious.
Absolutely.
But we'll call it a dramedy. How does that sound?
I like that.
Cool. Marcus, what role do you play?
I am portraying Hal Carter in this production.
And are you one of the patriarchs of one of the homes? Is that...
No, I am actually an outsider in this show.
Oh, you're an outsider.
A misfit.
Oh, yes. And a misfit. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about that. Tell us about the character.
Hal himself, he is a rough around guy. He's pretty much kind of bouncing around and rolling around from place to place. And then he stumbles into the backyard of Mrs. Helen Potts. And she takes him in. He's very, very grateful for the opportunity. But in terms of what he is looking for an opportunity. Not that one, but something more for himself.
Nefarious opportunity?
I would say so.
Okay.
Opportunistic he is.
Do you have one of those hand mustaches, a Simon Bar Sinister mustache that you twirl?
I would say my director, Peyton, would be against that character choice, but I did have to shave a little bit.
Peyton Trahan. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Peyton Trahan.
Peyton Trahan is the director.
Yes.
And Chloe, tell us about your role and character.
I play Christine Schoenwalder. She's one of the teachers. Kind of like, you know, comedic relief, you know, to add some uppityness. You know, they're kind of that basic old-fashioned 1950s Karen culture.
Okay.
But I'm just having a lot of fun with it. She is also kind of an outsider, but I feel like she's assimilated way better than he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. What have some of... You're in the middle of rehearsal. Well, you're not in the middle of rehearsal. You're, like, getting ready to open.
Absolutely.
How's the rehearsal process been for you? How is this... Is this a standard imagining of the piece, or are we reimagining this piece?
This is a pretty true homage to Inge's idea of what he wanted.
Okay.
So it's very traditional.
Mm-hmm. Take place in the 50s?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. And then... In terms of the whole rehearsal process, the rehearsal process has been very, very fabulous. All due thanks to our fabulous director, Peyton, like we mentioned. It's been very interesting for myself as an actor, just because I have not been able to play a character like this gentleman I have gotten to. And with that journey came a lot of self-boundaries for me, but it also came a lot of freedom just to play. And thank you again to Peyton for allowing me to have that freedom to play.
It's great. And how many people in the cast?
It is 7 women and 4 men.
Can you name the actors? Chloe, I'm asking you.
I just joined last week.
Oh, no!
I could name a good amount, but I don't want to accidentally get anyone's name wrong. But we have Christine, not me, Christine, another Christine. And then we have Helen. What's her?
We have Linda, we have Kathleen, we have Maggie, we have Bronson,
you have lots of
fabulous people.
Yeah, you have lots of people. I didn't have the City Theater page up here, but I'm going to just read the list. It features Marcus Speed, who's here with us, Linda Cota Myers, Bronson Vanderjack, Kathleen Capella, Maggie Dorfman, Christine Long, Jody Rodman, Landon Schwash. There's a name. Swashbuckler. Katrina Magoni, Genesis Heiser, and Stuart Cameron. Your name isn't in here.
Yes, I just joined.
You just joined. Amazing. How?
Well, they got to get on it and put your name on there.
Get your name on the website. Andy, get to work. And by Andy, I mean Andy Berkowski, the artistic director of City Theater. So tell us, so you just joined. How's that? That's got to be interesting and challenging.
Question real quick. How long have you guys been in rehearsal before you joined?
So the rehearsal process for this show specifically was only 3 weeks in total.
That's normal.
Wow.
For this one, yeah, I would say she joined probably roughly 2.5 weeks into it.
Yeah, I joined just on Wednesday.
Yeah. So again, my original question, how is that for you?
It's been interesting. Luckily, I do know Marcus. We've known each other for a couple years. Mm-hmm. So I at least had like one person I knew in there. So it didn't feel like I was just an outsider coming in. Mm-hmm. I was able to assimilate pretty quickly. And I, you know, I'm an actor, so memorizing is my main job. So I just went ahead and memorized it all in one night. And I was like, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Well, that was actually my next question as a director. Are you off book already?
Yes.
Nice. I hope so. Like they open in 2 days. Speaking of that, when do you open?
We open officially on Friday.
And that's Friday the 18th evening, of the 18th. August. And when do you play to?
We are going to be playing till, I believe that final date is the 3rd of September.
Labor
it's a
Day.
Sunday. Yes.
3rd of September. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
citytheateraustin.org.
Very good. That's exactly right. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you
really
so much for having
you.
Us.
Okay, that was Chloe Nichols and Marcus Speed of City Theater's production of Picnic, playing August 18th through September 3rd. For more information, you may visit citytheateraustin.org. And of course, I chose from the show My Vaudeville Man, Picnic in the Kitchen.
Ooh.
We'll be right back.
Have ourselves a picnic in the kitchen. So what?
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Brian. And we're going to jump into our next. We normally do local at this point, but we're going to jump into our next guest, which is a little different than we normally do. We're going to be talking about the release of the cast album of a new musical based on the movie Sideways. And this is called Sideways the Musical. I know, amazing. Brian just gave me a look, which doesn't work on the radio, so I had to explain it. It was like, oh my God, surprising. So what we're going to do, we're going to actually speak to a couple of the creatives, and I'm going to get them on the phone. They're from all over the world. But in the meantime, we're going to listen to one of the songs. We're going to listen to the full song and then talk to them a little bit about it. So let me read what they talk about. Sideways the Musical is an adaptation of the iconic novel and the Oscar-winning film it inspired. The story follows the misadventures of Miles, a divorced, failed writer and wine connoisseur, and Jack, a C-list character actor, on a week-long bacchanal before Jack ties the knot. On their road trip through California's Santa Ynez Valley wine country, Miles and Jack arrive at the hitching post. Their server, Maya, is an earthy, luminous beauty who dreams of becoming a vintner. She remembers Miles from his previous visits to the bar, and her charm and their shared passion for wine sweeps him off his feet. We're going to listen to the song, The Life of Wine. It is sung by Ruby Lewis. So let's listen to this, and we'll see you after the song.
Wine. Wow. Holy moly.
To be sublime.
How can we fail if we both know this is the most haunting pinot?
Complexity so divine in this
mystery. Come on, come on, let it grow. Like wine, our love will flow. Drink a memory with me, oh yeah. It's taken me time to sort it out. I've given up on love. Not sure what it was fashioned of. Streaking across the night sky. This moment will never die. Drink a memory. One we know.
Well, that was beautiful. That was a drink of memory. We are fortunate enough to have on the line with us, hopefully, if I did everything right. We have the actual singer that we just heard sing, Ruby Lewis. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
You are there. Wonderful. That's always, it's good when the technology works.
I hadn't listened back to that in a while. That is a pretty song.
Well, we did that just for you.
Thank you.
And also on the line, we have the composer, writer, and producer, Anthony Lee Adams. Anthony, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Lisa, thanks so much for having us on the show.
Oh, I love having you on the show. I love the movie, and I was very excited to know that there is a musical for the show. For folks that don't know the movie, can you say a little bit? I gave a little rundown at the beginning, which is the piece of... the little paragraph you sent me, Anthony. Tell folks what this movie is, or this play is, sorry.
It is a comedy, but it is also a character piece. And it's, you know, about a man facing failure, staring into the abyss of that, who is going bankrupt and going through divorce and career failure, and how he ultimately is able to find love.
Yeah, he should tell me how to do that.
Right. He has a hard time of it, but by the end, he sees the light.
Well, this is exciting. So, Anthony, was this your idea to turn Sideways into a musical?
Well, I went to see the play. Rex Pickett, who wrote the iconic novel that the film was based on, also wrote a play version. And I saw it in a small theater in Los Angeles, loved it. And I mentioned to Rex right there at the end of the show that I thought it was his perfect vehicle for a musical. And I was thrilled when he said, hey, let's collaborate. And so we had the fun of working together on the book and we co-wrote the lyrics, and I wrote the songs, and Ruby was wonderful to come in with the rest of our wonderful cast and record it. And we're thrilled now that the world premiere recording is being released this Friday by Lakeshore Records and Broadway Records. And we're just thrilled to be able to bring the music of Sideways to the world.
Yeah, well, that piece I heard was just lovely. Ruby, it must have been really fun to sing it.
Absolutely. I knew the film. I actually saw the play in L.A. as well. And so I kind of had an idea about the fierceness of this character. But then to be able to sing as the character was a whole new thing, and I got to be the one to do it. So it was really beautiful to paint the picture through song.
Yeah, so if I remember the character from the movie, she's kind of, she's edgy. She's got I was going to say she's got an edge, but that would be edgy. Means she has an edge. But a fun sure. character to play.
Absolutely. You know, played by Virginia Madsen in the film. And what I love about her, particularly in this depiction, is that, you know, she is an independent woman, but she allows herself to be vulnerable. And I really relate to that. So really fun to sink my teeth into.
Well, that's good. And the song is beautiful. And I know we're going to hear another song in a little second that's got a lot of beautiful harmonies in it. So mm-hmm. is that, Anthony, is that the song we just heard, is it more or less the style of the musical? Is that the rest of the music is in a similar vein?
Well, actually, the music, it's a very eclectic score. Mm-hmm. The Life of Wine, which I think you'll play next, is more of a, you know, it has a Latin.
I know. I was going to say it's a samba or a mambo or something like that. I wouldn't know the difference.
It is. And also there's rock numbers in it. There are also some more traditional Broadway numbers. There's some jazz influences. So it's really an eclectic score that covers the kind of kaleidoscopic moods of the characters. And what was really fun in creating the musical is we took the opportunity to create new scenes and characters that aren't in the novel or the movie and greatly expand the roles of Maya and Tara. And by doing that, it really raised the emotional stakes between all four of the main characters, allowing us to keep all the riotous comedy. But it also to focus, go deeper into character, because this is a book about, you know, romance, midlife crisis, relationships. And wine is the setting, but the story is really about what it means to be a flawed human. And that pretty much is all of us.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. So I know you have this as a musical. Has it had a full production yet?
It has not had a full production. We were thrilled that Lakeshore and Broadway thought that the songs were so strong, and that we have Kathleen Marshall, the Tony Award-winning director-choreographer.
Oh, yes, you do.
So we are going to go to the stage with this, and we're great to be able to start by recording the score, and then we'll be moving to the stage production next, which we can't wait to get live and share with everybody.
How would you like, yeah, you could take this opportunity right now to tell us where that's going to happen.
Well, we haven't planned where it's going to open, because we're still going through the process. Kathleen is over in England now, where she's directing the world premiere of Sinatra the Musical. When she returns, we'll all find ourselves in New York working together on the stage adaptation. So everything's moving forward.
Wonderful. Can you tell us who else is involved in this in the cast album?
Yes, absolutely. So the cast is really a wonderful group of performers. We have Devon Archer singing in it. We also have Emily Golia in it. We've got James Bias and Jade. This is really a wonderfully talented cast. They're so versatile. They're really excellent actors and singer-dancers, and they really sing the songs in character. So that's why the performances are so moving. They really bring the scenes to life and sing with heart and soul from really out of the character's own voices.
Yeah. So which I guess you would have to sing in character for a musical, right?
Exactly.
One would hope.
One would hope. Ruby, how did you get involved in this?
Gosh, it's been years ago, and I can't remember if I was recommended. You know, I was living in L.A. at the time as a musical theater actress, and there are fewer of us out in LA than there are in New York.
Correct.
So perhaps it was a smaller talent pool. And I just first started going over to Anthony and Christina's home studio and kind of just laying down a few ideas. And they've stuck with me this whole time and allowed me to really work on developing the character of Maya, which is why I'm in musical theater. And yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, those of us in theater really want to be that person that creates roles and does something and creates a new, hopefully iconic thing in the future.
That's it. Anytime someone asks my dream role, what role would you dream to play? I say, I don't know if it's been created yet. I just want to create, you know.
Yeah.
The process.
I also want to give a shout out to Juliette Golia and Britton Sparkman, who also did a great job on the recording.
Great. You have two Golias in this cast.
We do. They're sisters and they're brilliant. Yeah, they both do an incredible job in this. So
they could
collaborate with them.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Well, we are out of time. We're going to go away. We're going to let our listeners listen to another song from the show as we go away. It's going to be "Drink a Memory." Do you want to tell folks what that song is about?
Well, isn't that the one you played right at the top of the show?
Sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. It's it is. Sorry, I have The Life of Wind. I wrote it backwards.
The Life of Wine. The Life of Wine.
Life of Wine. I wrote W-I-N-D.
When the buddies are on their adventure to wine country, where Jack is going to get married on their wild adventure through wine country, this is where Miles and Jack arrive at the hitching post, and their servers, Maya, and who dreams of becoming a vintner, and she remembers Miles from his previous visits to the bar, and her charm and their shared passion for wine really sweeps him off his feet. And Ruby does an incredible vocal on this song, The Life of Wine.
Great. Well, Anthony Lee Adams and Ruby Lewis, thank you so much for being on Offstage and on the Air.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome, and best of luck with the release.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see you
thank
later.
You,
well, that was amazing. I hope I have the right songs queued up here. We're going to see. I'll come on if it's wrong.
Well, you can sing it.
Yeah, well, here
you can sing it and I can sign it.
We'll see what happens. Here goes.
Hey, Miles. It's good to see you. It's been a long time. I recklessly took your advice that night way back when, and I'm now deep into volume 11 of Carl Jung's collected works.
Really?
Yep. You know what else you told me that long wind-soaked night? You advised me to divorce the fornicating deconstructionist.
You did?
About 40 times. So, I got divorced. I'm free as a bird. And I love being single. I stood him back and didn't cry. An only child, a prey to fly. I made mistakes. I wasn't free. I moved here for my sanity. The world exploded in my face.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa, and Brian Cheslick.
That song was gorgeous. And actually, I had that total mood last night when I was drinking my Pinot Grigio and dancing around my house.
Well, you know, if it's sideways, they're all about the Merlot.
I'm just sorry, saying. I can't do the Merlot anymore. I'm too old.
I've always thought you were too old for so many things. Yeah, that was they were fun talking to them. And you were actually quite impressed when you read the bio of Anthony. He did Fraggle Rock and other things.
Fraggle Rock and DuckTales. He wrote like over 30 episodes of DuckTales, and I grew up with that show.
I did too.
Did you?
No, I didn't really. I was telling Ryan off the air. It's like, I didn't. I'm too old for Fraggle Rock. I don't even know what DuckTales is. I don't know that. I mean, I've heard the name. I couldn't tell you what it is.
You're never too old for either of them. So that is going to be your homework this weekend, to watch those shows.
Will do. So now we're just going to jump to today in theater history.
Okay.
We have a couple of openings. One of them was Pretty Woman, the musical.
Okay.
Yeah. Not. That's one of the ones, and again, just my opinion here, didn't need to happen, didn't need to see it, didn't need any of that stuff.
Exactly. Not every movie needed to be turned into a movie.
Correct. And that one should have been retired.
Exactly.
But in 1927, the Ziegfeld Follies of 1927 opened on this date.
That was also, I think Lucille Ball was in that, wasn't she?
She did a lot of them. I don't know that she did that one. Who knows? They did one every year, I believe. Ziegfeld Follies. I know Fanny Brice was in them.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of pretty funny girl. Birthdays, Angela Bassett.
Love her.
Okay, I don't know this person, but it says their name is Stu Birthday. I'm wondering if that's a typo. This is this guy right here. I'm showing Brian a picture. He doesn't know who it is either.
I have no idea.
But a happy birthday, Stu Birthday. Carol Shelley was born in 1939. Carol Shelley was in the original cast of Elephant Man, amongst other things. Dee Hoddy, her birthday. Manu Narayan, his birthday. And Anita Gillette. And then I cannot pronounce his name, but he was in Hamilton. We all called him Oak. He played Hercules Mulligan and what's his name? The president. It's Okeret Anawanduan. Anyway, I can't remember, but it's his birthday. Bon anniversaire.
Happy birthday.
So that's today in theater history. Things going on. You know what? I just realized I went out of order. I was supposed to do what's happening in Austin right now. And, you know, running out of time, so I'm going to blast through this pretty quickly. We talked about the Laramie Project. Mm-hmm. That's happening September 7th through the 16th at Ground Floor Theater. More information, defaustintheater.org. Vortex, Friday and Saturday night, Sunny Days by Raina Hardy. Is a reading there. I believe Rudy Ramirez, who was supposed to be our co-host today, but is defending his thesis right now. So good luck to him. Yes. Also playing Jenna and the Whale at Ground Floor Theater. We had a very good review that came out. It's playing now through the 26th of this month, groundfloortheater.org. Zach's got Head Over Heels playing through September 10th. Over at TexArts, there's 9 to 5, playing through the 27th. We just heard City Theaters doing Picnic through September 3rd. And then this I found very interesting. This is Los Negros Paros del Adios, The Blackbirds of Farewell, at the Chambers Theater in Buda from the 18th to the 27th. I don't know this theater, but this looks very interesting. You can get information at inspiredminds.art. And then we're going to go really quickly. We're going to hear Oak sing from the Hamilton album, and we'll be right back. Except I'm not hearing anything. Let me see what's happening.
I am Hercules Mulligan, up in it, loving it. Yes, I heard your mother said, come again. Hey. Lock up your daughters and horses. Of course, it's hard to have intercourse over four sets of corsets.
Wow.
No more sex. Pour me another brew, son. Let's raise a couple more to the revolution. Well, if it ain't the prodigy of Princeton College.
Aaron Burr.
Give us a verse. Drop some knowledge.
Good luck with that. You're taking a stand. You spit. I'm a... shit, we'll see where we land.
Bro, the revolution's imminent. What do you stall for?
If you stand for...
All right, gotta stop it. It was almost over, but I had to stop it because we're running out of time. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, we had so much fun.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been my pleasure.
It's been my pleasure. I look forward to doing it again.
It's our pleasures. Coming up next is the Austin Cooperative Hour. This week, it's Racism on the Levels with Stacey Frazier. Stacey's here trying to wrestle that mic away from me, but I'm not giving it up quite yet. And we are going to be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And we'll go out with another song from Sideways the Musical. This is God of the Grape. We will see you next week. Bye, everybody.